This is episode 400. We've reached episode 400. This is quite a milestone for Sports Roundtable. And of course, this is Monday, July 21st, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. Glad to be here with all of you. This is episode 400. We've reached episode 400. This is quite a milestone for Sports Roundtable. And, of course, this is Monday, July 21st, 2025. Before we continue, let me introduce the panel that we have so far. We start out with Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon, good evening from beautiful downtown Pasadena. This is Mitch Pomerantz, and it is an unseasonably cool 69, kind of overcast here. We're having a reprise of our May gray and June gloom here, and no one is complaining. We know what it's like in the rest of the country, and so we're just happy to be here. Where it's nice and cool and comfortable today.
We are sunny and dry here in southern New England. The temperature barely made 80 today. It promises to be, for the most part, a nice summer-like week that's going to warm up later in the week. Don Wardlow.
Well, it's hot in Jersey. I think tomorrow we're going to get the weather you're having now, where it might touch 80, and at nighttime it's going to be around 60. And I'm just glad we have reached 400. And I wondered if you wanted, before the end of the show, I might play a little Ted Williams sound, the last man who reached 400.
Sure, why not?
Okay, I can have it queued up and you can tell me when you want it.
All right. We are still waiting, as far as I know, on Luther King, Peter Altschul, and the Reverend Michael Garrett. And I'm sure that when they arrive, they will let us know. Allow me to thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you very much for what you do. Also, our media sources, thank you for airing us, and Jacqueline Sylvia of JS Web Solutions for archiving our shows on my website. If you want to find the archives, just go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcasts. Click on them. And you will catch most of our archives from latest to earliest. And as Peter would say, merci, Jackie. Last week, as we all know, was a boring sports week. I think most people who love sports would agree that was the most boring week of the entire year because there's nothing going on and baseball takes a break because of the All-Star game. And speaking of the All-Star game, what did you guys think of the swing out? And do you think this is a good thing for the All-Star game? Do you think baseball made the right decision 3 years ago during their last collective bargaining agreement when they instituted the swing out?
There's a difference, Bob, between having a home run derby the day before the All-Star game, and it was great last year when Teoscar Hernandez was in it and won representing the Dodgers. It is an entirely different animal to have the swing off decide how or who is going to win an All-Star game. It's a gimmick. It doesn't belong in an All-Star game. I understand that at least the National League had used all of their pitchers. Maybe they ought to not use all of their pitchers, as in the old days, even into the 80s, where a starting pitcher went two or three innings, and by the end of the game, there really were a couple of guys left over. But I guess I'm whistling into the wind or something, because they're into gimmicks, and we're probably stuck with the swing off at least until the next CBA is agreed to, which will happen after the lockout in 27.
But you know, Mitch, here's the other thing that really gets me. One of the things that probably contributed to the National League, or maybe even the American League for that matter, was getting close to reaching their full quota of pitchers. You've got a guy like Alex Cora for the Boston Red Sox who was telling the American League manager, Aaron Boone, I believe it was, yes, that he's not supposed to use Garrett Crochet in the All-Star game because we want to rest him. Since when does the managers of these All-Stars dictate to the manager of the game itself who to play and who not to play?
I have a sneaking suspicion that has happened, for a long time. If you go back and look at box scores of All-Star games past, you'll probably find that there are pitchers that didn't play, and you don't know why. The only logical explanation is they pitched the day before or 2 days before, and so they're not ready to pitch. But I have a feeling that particular issue is not new to the All-Star game.
Well, thank God it's not the case with more managers. What if 5 or 6 or 7 managers said the same thing? There'd hardly be any pitching.
They would have to have replacement pitchers. Now, I do believe what Mitch said, that it has gone on in the past, but it probably has not been as public as it is now because of social media. You know, we know what the Boston manager, what he said to Aaron Boone, where we would never have known what Connie Mack said to Joe McCarthy, you know, who to pitch and who not to pitch. If Connie said something to Joe, it wouldn't have been quoted in the media. The newspapers then were in the team's pocket, and so things that weren't going to be quoted weren't quoted. Now, I do have an opinion on the swing off, but it's a two-sided opinion, if you will. My own opinion, I hated it. That's just me, Don Wardlow from New Jersey. Now, I on purpose reached out to two of my nephews, and believe me, if I could have found more young baseball fans, I would have reached out to them too. But my two young nephews liked it a whole lot better than their Uncle Don did. Now, I didn't lean on them. I didn't let them know how much I disliked it. But I strictly asked them, I want to know your opinion with no help from anybody else. What did you make of it? And both Nate, who is 20, or will be, and Jack, who is 16, both of them, they were very much in favor of this strictly for All-Star game purposes, but it needs to be tinkered with so that if it ever, God forbid, if it happens again, they can bring back Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge, and the honest John Best hitters, home run hitters, are there and available. They had to work with the lineup that they had in front of them at that time after 9 innings of play, which is why the American got stuck with Jonathan Aranda, who at best is a banjo hitter. He's no home run hitter. And I forget who the other two clowns they had were, but National at least had Kyle Schwarber, and they could have gotten to Peter Alonso if Alonso was needed. But after Schwarber hit 3 home runs on 3 swings, with the banjo hitting the American League put up, they didn't need to bring up Pete Alonso.
I think that there's a point here about why Major League Baseball instituted the swing off, because pitchers are being babied and coddled so much in modern baseball. They only have to pitch 1 inning now. They can't even pitch 2 in an All-Star game. This is an extension of what goes on in the regular season. You got to take a starter out early, you know, and everybody's protected. They're already saying now Oh, Garrett Crochet pitched 146 innings last year for the White Sox, even though he's the ace of the Red Sox staff right now and signed a 6-year deal. We gotta make sure he doesn't wear out after he pitches so many innings. We never heard about these things back in the old days. What do you think Roger Clemens would say about something like that? Or Pedro, or Schilling, or Blylevin, or Catfish Hunter?
Well, they were made baseball, of sterner stuff than today's pitchers.
Yeah, baseball is definitely softened. But, you know, without getting off of sports, but the country is softened and it's, you know, you can argue if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's certainly the case in baseball. However, I did discover, making a slight modification of the topic, after this past weekend, I have discovered an old fashioned team that I have decided will be the National League rep in the World Series, and it ain't the Dodgers. Milwaukee swept us for the second series, so they took all six from us, and they play baseball the way us old you-know-whats like about baseball from 40 years ago. They their pitchers go longer than six innings. They have, I think, the best starting and bullpen in the National League, and they made us look silly this weekend and in the previous weekend. And I believe the Brewers are going to be in the World Series. I was very impressed with how they played the Dodgers these two series.
And they swept them without even using the Polish power, which is Jacob Mizierewski. They didn't even have to use him, and they still swept the Dodgers.
I was going to say they are aggressive, and they have some really good young hitters who aren't just swinging for the fences all the time.
See, now, if Major League Baseball notices this, isn't there something that they could, I don't know how much influence Major League Baseball has anyway, because I asked somebody a question one time, how can we get MLB to change the style of baseball back to the old days? And somebody told me, well, the union, the owners get paid, and if the union tries to talk the owners out of it, the owners will, I don't know, something about the owners are directly involved in the process. So I don't think it's going to happen, and it's too bad.
Yeah, but Bob, the other reason it isn't going to change, because there is no salary cap and won't be a salary cap, the hitters, particularly the power hitters, or the guys that think they're power hitters, they like swinging for the fences. They like launch angle and all this other stuff, because they... players get paid for hitting home runs these days. I don't know if you realize this. There is only one National League hitter in the top 10 hitting over 300, and that's Will Smith of the Dodgers. The other nine from 2 down to 10 are hitting under 300. That's disgraceful.
That's amazing.
What do you think players are going to go along with? This is nothing new. Players want baseball this way.
This is nothing new, Mitch. There was a fella who said, home run hitters drive Cadillacs, singles hitters drive Fords. And that man was Ralph Kiner.
Ralph Kiner. But what do the fans want, though? Don't the fans want station to station baseball and bunting? And I'm not saying they don't want home runs. They do. But us fans, or we fans, we're used to fundamentals. We're used to manufactured runs, bunts, stolen bases, station to station.
Bob, let me break this to you gently. You're wrong. The folks who are over 50, like us, over 60, that's the kind of baseball we want. Don talked to his nephews. Bob, find a couple of baseball fans under 30 and you ask them what kind of baseball they like. No, they don't like our kind of baseball. They want instant gratification. They want the home run.
I wonder how these younger fans feel about all the strikeouts that they're seeing because of this, though.
They don't seem to mind the strikeout.
They don't care.
The strikeout was considered a disgrace in the days of the poem Casey at the Bat.
No more.
But that
no
was more. That was in the 1880s. That's when that poem was written.
Yeah.
And the last guy who was cool about having very few strikeouts and really not being a big home run hitter was Tony Gwynn. I don't think there's been a guy like him since he's gone.
No. And the flip side of the strikeout, and I've thought about it a lot. If I got a runner at first and one out, guess what? I'd rather the hitter strike out. At least I'd rather my hitter strike out than hit into a double play. So there really is a plus side to a strikeout over a ground ball.
Unless the fielder muffs it, which they do.
Yeah.
You know, they're human beings.
Which happens.
You know, it's so now if your hitter is 6'7", 275 pounds, of course he's going to hit a double play on the ground. But so you're right. You don't want him to bunt. That'll never work. But if your hitter is not the size of Aaron Judge, you know, maybe they can lay one down.
Yep.
You know what
the other question I have too about baseball, this new computer challenge that's inevitable for the American and National Leagues. A lot of people love it. I'm willing to give it a shot. I think it's good. I liked witnessing it during last year's spring training, and I think this year's spring training as well.
Right. And the All-Star game.
Okay.
And it's very quick. That's the best part about it. That's the one reason I like it. I like it too. These reviews that take 20 minutes. And, you know, this is ridiculous. And although you see more of those on the college level than in the big leagues.
So let's say that this technology replaces the umpires. A question that I always ask when it comes to technology, and it's a good question. What happens if it breaks down during a game? What do you do?
Exactly.
Well, it's not going to replace the umpire. That's not going to happen. What it's going to do is backstop the umpire. And the problem that I think is going to occur, because and maybe I'm in the minority, I forget where I heard the discussion recently, and they argued that umpiring is better than it used to be. I don't believe it. I think umpiring is worse. But what I hope this accomplishes, if the overturn rate is let's say 2/3 of umpires' calls, I hope this will get the places where umpires are trained to do a better job, come up with a more uniform strike zone, do whatever is necessary to improve the umpiring. That is what I am hoping comes out. But there are no discussions about replacing the umpires. This hopefully will force umpires to do a better job of calling balls and strikes, let alone plays on the base path.
So are the umpires doing a poor job nowadays because of the way they're being trained? And if that's the case, who's training them? What changed?
Yeah, that I don't know. That I don't know. I'd love that question answered.
And while the computers call the balls and strikes as backstops for the umpires, what will the umpires be doing? Just waiting until there's a play?
They'll still be calling balls and strikes. The computerized system that's being used in the minors and will be used beginning next year in the majors, it will only come into play when a hitter, a pitcher, or the catcher puts his hand up by his helmet to ask for a replay. The umpire will not call a ball or a strike based on what the computer tells him in his pink little ear. It will only come into play if a hitter or pitcher or catcher says, I want that reviewed. So it's not taking over. It truly is backstopping the umpire, at least for the foreseeable future.
Okay, because I had heard that eventually we're going to have robot umpires, and it sounded to me, at least I had the impression that they would take over the situation.
No, I don't think that's that's not going to happen. Not for years.
Well, I'm glad it's not. And by the way, Mitch, your Dodgers are coming to Fenway Park this weekend.
Yeah, that should be interesting. Freddie Freeman, when he got hit on the wrist by a pitch yesterday and walked immediately off the field, no ifs, ands, or buts, didn't even wait for the trainer. We all thought his wrist was broken. Thankfully, the x-rays came back negative. So, you may get to see, Freddie Freeman, and Mookie Betts, who's hitting right around 240. that should be a fun series. The Dodgers can hopefully get some of their respect back by sweeping the Minnesota Twins. Sorry, Troy. The Minnesota Twins are not the Milwaukee Brewers or the Houston Astros. But that'll be a fun series. I'm looking forward to it.
What do you think of the Cubs? I'm impressed.
The Cubs are very good. They beat us 4 out of 7 this year. But I don't think the Cubs pitching is as good as the Brewers. And ultimately, I still believe that good pitching beats good hitting most of the time. That's why I say I think the Brewers are going to go to the series.
They're in second place at the moment, I think, behind the Cubs. The Cubs have the best record in baseball.
No, they're tied. Oh. I believe they're tied right now with the best record in the National League. And you know, somebody commented a week ago about there are no great teams. I think the Cubs and Brewers have the best records, and they're only 19 games over 500. Dodgers are 16 over. Maybe 17 or 18. Detroit's 19 over. Detroit's got the best record in baseball. For this time of year, that's not great. That's good, but it's not great.
Yeah, I've been saying that, especially about the American League teams. Nobody in the American League scares me. Even Detroit's hit the skids lately. I know Toronto's hot right now. People are loving it. Oh, you know, Toronto might go places. Yeah, but Toronto might hit the skids too. Look at the Red Sox. They're emerging. They're now the second wild card. Who would have thought that a month ago? The Red Sox are now the second wild card, right behind the Yankees. And they won 11 out of 13 games. And there's talk that they're going to be trading Jaron Duran, and I know San Diego wants him. The problem there is, if I'm San Diego and the Red Sox want a starting pitcher, why would I want to give any of my starting pitchers up? I don't think Durant's going to San Diego for that reason. The Red Sox need to buy.
Well, the Dodgers could use another outfielder. I mean, Conforto is still hitting around 180. And the way it's unfortunate because I'm a big Andy Pius fan, but he played defense yesterday like he had his mind elsewhere. The Dodgers may be looking for an outfielder. And we got a lot of young pitchers in the minors. You know, our first draft pick 3 or 4 years ago, Bobby Miller, who has not panned out, but you know, the Dodgers might package 2 or 3 young pitchers to get a Duran to play center field.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. The trade deadline is going to be in another 10 days or so. And I think the 31st, and a lot of teams, I think, are waiting because of the parity right now in baseball. You've got teams that may be on the fringe today that don't want to make any hasty decisions, and they may be out of it within 10 days. Teams like the Rangers, the Twins, for example, that may not want to do anything right now, but they may want to do something in a week or so, be a seller, let's say.
The Diamondbacks announced, although with the Dodgers losing streak, the Diamondbacks are only 9 games out, albeit in fourth place, but they've announced that they're going to be sellers.
Well, 2 pitchers that I've heard about from the Diamondbacks that the Red Sox could get are Merrill Kelly, and Zach Gallen.
I'd rather have Gallen. The Dodgers have always had their way with Merrill Kelly, except I think for one game. Zach Gallen is a pretty good pitcher, although I don't know what his ERA is this year.
I think Kelly's more under control than Gallen. But Gallen's got a hefty contract, doesn't he?
Yeah, but the Dodgers, if the Dodgers trade for a starting pitcher, which is being talked about, they would want a guy like a Jack Flaherty, who is a free agent at the end of the year, because the expectation is that even though they think Snell and Sasaki might be back this year, who knows? And they would be perfectly fine picking up a pitcher just for the rest of the season, letting him go afterward.
Mm-hmm. So I want to switch gears, and I know Don would definitely be interested in this topic. Don, what's going on with Caitlin Clark? If you can explain it to our listeners, there's been some issues going on. Is it her health right now, or what's happening?
Honestly, I don't know. I did see something about her being injured, but to what degree, I don't know. I've been having difficulties of my own at this end.
Don and Bob, it's the same injury. She aggravated the groin that she injured earlier this season. Because the other WNBA players are beating the snot out of her. You know, they think they're all Detroit Pistons of the 80s. And so she's re-injured again, and she's going to miss some time at the start of the second half of the season, assuming, of course, the WNBA doesn't walk out entirely. There is a labor issue right now about what they're not being paid, and I've heard that they might decide to walk out.
This year?
Yep. Like, imminently.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It would be.
I mean, they're getting more notoriety lately than ever before. They've come into their own, and now there's a labor issue. Well, that shouldn't surprise me in professional sports. I mean, we hear about these labor issues in almost every sport, although you don't hear much about it in hockey. Hockey's been holding its own for a while, but basketball had an issue. Oh, was it 1999? I believe it was. They were on strike for a while. 2014, 2013? They started the season late because of a strike. Oh, maybe
I thought
that.
The NHL.
I forgot what year.
Yeah,
it was.
Hockey had something in
05. I thought the NHL was dark for one whole season.
They were.
Yeah, 04, 05.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Bob, yeah. We're getting close to where we're going to bring on our participants, our listeners. Do we want to do the Ted Williams bit in honor of us hitting 400 first before we bring on our listeners? Okay,
because
I have to do a little maneuvering here to make this happen. Give me a brief moment.
A tribute to Ted Williams, folks, one of the greatest hitters of all time in baseball. In fact, my middle name is Theodore. My father named me after Ted Williams and Bob Cousy. That's a true story.
Selected. Screen sharing meeting control.
Now, how cool is that?
Press F6 to switch between 1, 91.
Okay, what you're about to hear is...
Participants can now see your screen.
A man, a good friend of mine, he's passed on now. His name is Wayne Terwilliger. And in his day, he was called Twig. He was Ted Williams' third base coach. And Ted Williams won a tape recorder in a door prize. And Ted says to Twig, Twig, you keep this. I don't want this bleepity bleep thing. I don't need this bleep bleep thing. And Twig is like, well, yeah, I'll take it. And he not only took it, but he took it all over the clubhouse interviewing left, right, and center. And one of his interviews was conducted at what Ted Williams still thought of as Briggs Stadium, even though the name had been changed to Tiger Stadium. He never embraced that nickname. So here is Twig interviewing his boss, Ted Williams, about hitting in the 1941 All-Star Game, the year he had 400.
Ted, the All-Star Game in 1941. Was that the correct date?
Yeah.
I was sitting in the lower left field bleachers, I believe, which was then Briggs Stadium, and I still almost see the seat where I was sitting, and I could also see the spot where you hit your home run to win the ball game. Can you tell me who was off and what kind of pitch it was?
Well, it was Passo, and he'd had a great year. He was having a great year with Chicago, and he threw a good high a three-quarter delivery, and he had a fastball. He kind of spun just a little bit, and it really was kind of like a slider. Not very many people were, in fact, no one that I know of was actually throwing a slider. And he had been throwing that ball in on me, and I was just a little late because it was coming in on me instead of coming back over the plate like it would be from a right-hand pitcher. And I had taken a cut, in fact, a couple of swings, and I said, gee, I got to be quicker with this fellow because he's getting this ball in on me a little bit and coming in on me. And about that time, the next pitch was in on me, and I got a little quicker, and I got it up in the air. And of course, it happened just at the right time for a young fellow to say it was the greatest thrill in his baseball career, which really was one of the greatest for me. And, you know, imagine a 20-year-old kid with all the great players in the league and his second All-Star game at first one starting and hitting a home run in the ninth into winning. Why, you know, that has to be a big thrill.
So Ted Williams, who, by the way, his given name, Theodore, is in honor of Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh.
And so what? Ted Williams with Wayne Terwilliger, the man called Twig, who was his third base coach, and that interview now, took place in Detroit.
Now, Don, who was the pitcher that he said he hit it off of?
Claude Passo of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah. Now, here's some Wayne Terwilliger trivia, which I guess is a reflection of how long I've been following baseball. Terwilliger, at the end of his career, and I don't know where he started, maybe his whole career, but he was an infielder for the Kansas City Athletics.
That is correct. He was. He began with the Cubs. Okay. He was traded to the Dodgers, where he told me he was Jackie Robinson's backup, and considering Jackie Robinson played roughly 162 games a year, Twig did more sitting on the bench than he did playing. And by doing that, he learned to be a minor league coach and manager and later major league coach.
Hmm. Yeah, I had no idea he was with, I assume, the Brooklyn Dodgers sometime in the early 50s. Yeah.
Correct. Before they moved to LA in 58, if I'm right.
I lose. Don, when did that recording take place, Don?
That recording was made in the summer of 1969, and I have never used that in any format until this occasion, because this is our 400th episode, and Luther wasn't here to hear me say that this was in honor of Ted Williams hitting 400, which he did in 1941.
I wonder the only question to follow up that would be, who was doing the broadcast way back in the heyday of those?
That I can tell you. I didn't want to use the actual broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have on my program. But the local was done by a man named Ty Tyson on WWJ in Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
And that called
Ernie Harwell.
Right, exactly. Way before Ernie. And
way before.
Nationwide, that was called by Red Barber, the legendary, who would,
by the way, mentor the legendary late great Ben Scully with Connie Desmond.
Desmond drank his way out of being what Vin Scully became.
Exactly.
He had a voice, man. He had a voice.
If I remember right, I think if my math is correct, Gary Doggett took over, basically took Tony Desmond's spot.
Exactly. He was a minor league broadcaster.
Yeah,
Doggett was, came out, with Scully and the Dodgers in 58.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he worked in Brooklyn with Vin and with Al Helfer, but Al Helfer did not leave New York.
Right.
Vin did, and Doggett had a voice too, by the way.
I think from what I heard, that the folks in Los Angeles wanted their local guys, but Branch Rickey basically said no.
It wasn't him by then. It was Walter O'Malley.
Walter O'Malley basically said to the local folks that wanted to keep their guys, they said, basically Walter O'Malley said, no, we're using my guys. And
O'Malley had all the juice in that city in that time.
Sure did.
Yeah, absolutely. And
when the Angels came to town, they got to use local guys on their broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So
for the decades that Jerry Doggett was with Vin Scully, Doggett would do the third and the seventh innings.
Yep. And if my math is right, Vin would get those same innings because Vin would get the third and the seventh, I believe. And Red got most of the other one. He got pretty much all the other ones with him being the lead play voice.
Yeah, until he left Brooklyn. Right.
I think that's how the format was. And then after Doggett left, I think Vin flew solo the rest of his career, I think.
So let's bring our participants on now. You're listening to Sports Roundtable. And let me ask, by the way, let me say hi to Trish and Herbie. We're at it here. Trish is our facilitator and Herbie is our streamer. And because we are being streamed, let me give up my email address for those people who would like to write us. We want to hear from fans of this program to find out from them what they think of what we're talking about. Comments about sports in general. That's bobbranco93@gmail.com. bobbranco93@gmail.com. Trish, do we have any hands raised right now?
We have two hands raised.
All right.
The first one is a phone number. It is area code 713-865. Can you unmute and let us know who you are, please?
In Houston, Texas.
It is. I just don't know who it is.
Hi, guys. Please?
Could be the Reverend.
Yeah, I think it's Mike. It's Mike.
What's the name of you? Recognize that number.
How are you? Long time no hear.
Program
coming to you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Coming to you live from St. Louis, St. Charles, in Illinois, at the 2025 World Series of Beat Baseball.
Sweet. I got the notice.
Is there a team there this year?
What? There are 19 teams. No, yeah, the Jersey. We play Jersey tomorrow. Last game.
Go Jersey.
Jersey, New York, and Minnesota.
Hey, Reverend, I'm glad you're here because I do want to ask you, with Arch Manning at QB for this year, for the Horns, do they have enough to win it all, in your opinion?
I'm afraid to say, I don't know. Because when they change, you know, you had we lost our whole defensive line. Mm-hmm. We're bringing back our top linebacker. We're adding a couple. We still got our pass rusher, Colin Simmons. Yep. But the interior line is a question for me.
I wonder what you're getting in the backfield too, because you lost Blue to the draft, and you know, I don't know, you know, how many backs will be back and receivers and tight ends.
Our backfield looks pretty good. We just need to put them on the field.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a good run game because I don't want to put all that pressure on Manning.
Exactly.
So it's going to be very interesting to see. And then of course we have to play Ohio State.
Yep.
First
game of the year. And I'm like, we got some good games this year in college football, I think.
Last game of the year, first of last year, first game of this year.
Ain't that the truth? And I think that game's either in Austin or Columbus. I can't remember where is that one of those neutral site games? I forgot.
Well, I'm not sure. But guys, I'm gonna jump. We're having a team meeting, and I'm behind the guys. I want to say something. All right.
Good to hear from you.
I just wanted to report in.
Good luck. Thank you. We appreciate the report. Good luck at the World Series there.
Good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Trish, you said there was another hand.
Well, and there's actually two more hands now.
Oh,
so,
good.
Oh, beautiful.
We have next is Troy Larson, and he will be followed by Joe Marks.
We're playing Philly tonight. Look out.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Talk to us. What you got, Drew?
Well, so this weekend, the Twins lose 2 out of 3 to the Colorado Rockies, the worst team. The worst team in the MLB. And, oh yeah, by the way, Mitch is right. The Cubs and Brewers are tied in the National
League. Yes, they are tied.
Yeah.
While the Cubs are kind of floundering, the Brewers have been streaking.
Yeah. So, but.
And as I said earlier, Troy, I apologize, but the Dodgers have to, lick their wounds and take it out on the Twins 3 straight, beginning tonight.
Well, you will never know. Maybe the Twins will somehow work their magic and win the series, but.
Well, the Twins are kind of in a spot because I don't know, you know, I think they're still in contention, but their chances of even making the postseason are kind of dwindling.
Well,
kind of like my
Cardinals. Right now,
they're not in a good spot either. So,
yeah. Well,
so we're kind of in the same spot you are.
Well,
Rockies in Denver.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, let me, throw out a couple of nuggets I learned yesterday. And actually over the weekend, Colorado, they had lost 17 straight home series in Denver since last year. They had lost 17 straight. If the Twins had somehow won 2 out of 3 at least,
it would have been 18.
Yep. It would have been 18, breaking the record held by the Philadelphia Athletics from 1916 to 1917.
Wow. Well, so, at least the good thing is, or at least the Rockies aren't in that classification.
Yeah,
but they still have the worst record in all of baseball, though.
Yep. But here's the other nugget I want to throw out there. I learned that if the Twins had been swept by the Rockies, if they had been swept, the Rockies would have had 23% of their home wins versus the Twins this season.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
That's Troy. Yeah.
Would you know how bad that stat just sounded? I mean, when you're that awful and you have to gleam onto hope that you can find a way to sweep a team and it's that bad. Good Lord. You are awful. I thought the White Sox last year were bad. This right here, boys and girls, is going beyond bad.
Well, you realize,
Troy, that the Twins may be responsible for the Rockies not setting an all-time
record,
lowest win total they may top 40 wins because of taking the Twins 2 out of 3.
Yeah, they maybe, but
the season's far from over yet. We still have
about 60 something games left.
About 60 yeah. something games. Troy, yeah. I have a question. Of
sure.
course, as a Red Sox fan. We're talking about the trade deadline all the time, and the Red
yes,
Sox.
Yes, we
need,
are.
The Red Sox need starting pitchers like crazy.
Hey, Bob,
they need a number two starter. And I got to tell you, Troy. One of the most popular names I'm hearing is Joe Ryan. What have you heard?
I did
join the meeting alert.
I did see that in the rumors. I don't know if it's going to happen for sure, just because.
Well, I mean, I think it would probably take like a big haul to get a Joe Ryan. It would probably almost take getting rid of the Red Sox whole minor league prospect or close
or
to
Jaren Duran.
Well, yeah, but do they really want to do that?
Well, they have Luther. They have 4 starting outfielders.
Yeah,
right
I
now.
Know.
Plus a DH. It's kind of hard to make a regular lineup under those circumstances.
Well,
yeah,
okay.
But I don't, you know, the Twins still definitely have a couple more years of control with Joe Ryan. So I don't know if they're going to trade him now, but you know, sometimes with this current front office, they do surprise me. But
a lot of the trades guys have not been very good.
No, they've not.
I mean, I could tell you that Brent Rooker has become one of the best hitters in the American League playing for the Sacramento Athletics. I think it's called the Athletics now.
As I like to refer to them as the Vagabond.
Or Clemento, as somebody put it.
Yeah, and we traded Spencer Steer to Cincinnati. And
Spencer Steer has made life miserable for everybody in the NL Central. Almost everybody.
Yeah, so you get the drift of how I feel about how this front office is operating. You know, trading Luis Arraez to the Miami Marlins. Fishies.
I mean, so, Troy, doesn't
he won a batting champion for you guys, didn't he?
And then he did it again. Look, and then he turned around and did it again in the National League. I think he's the only batter to do it in two different leagues.
LeMahieu.
What I'm saying is in two straight years. I don't think LeMahieu did it in two straight, but Arraez
did it in 2 years. They might not have been back to back years.
Well, what I'm saying is back to back.
Hilberfer's right. It was back to back years. I think it might have been three. Yeah,
was
I think
about,
yeah, cause I think he won for San Diego.
I think you're right. So he's done it twice in the National League and once in the American League. I think he's the only guy to win it three straight times and he's in the same league. Like, holy smokes.
Yeah, well, he's been in two different leagues in three straight years, but yeah.
So,
you know. Yeah, so you can
it almost feels like the Twins are getting the Castellini family stupidity virus over there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not real optimistic if we're gonna get a whole lot. I mean, obviously we did get Joel Ryan for Nelson Cruz, but
yep.
That was a while back though. Yeah, well, and since then, most of the trades have just been not very good.
Right.
Well. So that's about all I have for you guys on the state of the Twins.
Well, Troy, as always, thank you for your contribution and now we'll see what happens. We'll know next week.
Oh, yep. And now a guy we've not heard from.
I know.
Many moons. And I'm glad he's actually back.
Hello, Joe, gentlemen. From Philly.
How are you?
Hello.
Long time.
You're getting a visit tonight from the Red Sox.
Yeah. And the hope is we have something for them. But before I get into that, a little housekeeping. First off, congratulations on 400, guys.
Thank you.
Number two, just as I know Mike left, but, let's go Philly Fire, return as champs for Philly, World Series.
Is it baseball? Sweet.
Yep. Yep. Nice. Philly Fire, defending champs, they bring it back home. So here's the other thing that I wanted to bring up before I go into the Sox. So the swing off for the All-Star.
Yes, last Tuesday, which I didn't actually listen to, but I heard about it. And I heard about it the next day.
Okay, maybe I'm too much of a purist, but I don't like this. I don't like, cause I feel like this is the shootout like baseball's version of the shootout.
No, it's
It's
baseball's version of soccer's World Cup penalty kicks when a game is still tied at the end of, you know, regulation and overtime. That's what it sounded like. That's what it feels like it felt like.
And so my next question is to you, Bob, about like the Red Sox. You got to explain something to me because here in Philly, we feel like the sky is falling with Dave Dombrowski. Right now, that guy's on the hot seat. And as you guys all know.
And you're still in first place in your division.
And that's the astonishing thing. But the part that is like all you guys have seen Dave Dombrowski do his magic.
Yes.
For years, for decades. Yep. This guy's gonna be a Hall of Famer.
He did it with Detroit.
He turned them around in 2006. World championship. He brought the Red Sox a world championship in 2018.
And I think he did it in Detroit in 06 when they were, you know, trying to get themselves turned around and brought Jim Leland over there.
Yep. And here's my thing is that You know, I saw Boston get rid of one of their better players and almost say, yeah, we're calling it. It's a season. Like, we're calling it. And yet they got better. So
addition by subtraction.
I am puzzled what Dave Dombrowski should do and maybe what he needs to do. So my first question to you guys is, what should Dave do?
Well, for one, you definitely, this is just my thought. Now, I don't know if you guys agree with this, but like everybody else who's looking for this, they need another starter in their rotation to lengthen that rotation out so everybody can have roles defined. Find another bat if you can get it to, you know, protect Bryce Harper. And third, this is just my thought, they need a closer at the back end of the bullpen because trying to go closer by committee for them has killed them in the last couple of postseasons. And until they find a closer to close games down like they used to have with Brad Lidge and other guys that they've had before they try to go closer by committee, I don't think that's going to be, you know, the roadmap for success for the Phillies until they actually get a guy at the back end of that bullpen that you can get the ball to when it's time to close it down. That's just my thought.
Well, supposedly, because the Dodgers are going after him, Class A of the Guardians is on the block.
One of the best.
One of the best closers.
Yeah. But apparently not this year.
I know.
Apparently this is not. But you know, what you've described is what most of the front runners in MLB are looking for.
Including my Cardinals, including, you know, the Reds, including the Brewers, including the, like, Don, yeah. Like, and Don, you and I talked about this before. Like, cause I mean, we talked about it in the text chain. Like, everybody's going to have to get in line because unfortunately, the supply is going to outweigh the demand.
Yeah, everybody's looking for a hitter. Everybody's looking for a starting pitcher, and everybody's looking for a closer.
Bullpen. Exactly.
I feel like the Phillies have a surplus with starting pitching. I feel like Ranger Suarez is definitely one that is on the chopping block.
I think he'd be better in the bullpen. That's just me.
I don't disagree, but you're going to lose him regardless. Well, so I would rather get something, even if it's like a Class A or Durant or a Batista or somebody that
but here's my question though. Can you really pull off getting and trading a Ranger Suarez before, since he's on his last year of his deal, or he'll walk in free agency to get a, you know, Joey Bats from Toronto? Cause I think he's in the same boat that Suarez is in.
Jose Bautista. He's gone.
The Orioles.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The closer from the Orioles.
Well, I'm trying to think. Can you really pull that off? Because aren't both of them in the same boat in the last year of their contracts? Or they're at the point where they can just walk?
I think Batista's got 1 or 2 years of arbitration.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's that, and where is Rangers and unrestricted.
Okay.
So,
when you said Joey Bats, I was thinking of Jose Bautista.
That's who I was thinking.
Pitcher Batista's name is Felix.
Oh, yeah, Felix. Okay. Yeah, Felix.
All right.
I remember Felix Bautista, didn't he get drafted to be a starter at one point and then they finally moved him to the back of the bullpen? I think they tried him out as a starter at the minor level and then they finally moved him back to the back end.
Bob, I know you gotta go, but before I do, I hope the Phillies take at least 2 or 3 because we need to bounce back from that really pitiful Angel series.
We hope to take at least 2 out of 3 from Philly, Joe. We really are hoping.
Before you scoot, where are the Sixers right now? I mean, I know they're like down, but how many like truly?
How many
building blocks do they have? Cause I know with Maxi, what is it? Is he still hurt? Maxi?
No, he's fine. Paul George just went in for surgery for orthoscopic knee surgery.
It's going to take him a while to get back.
Joel Embiid hasn't started NBA training. So yeah, rehab. And then he just came out with a very salacious long article on ESPN where he was interviewed about the Sixers and his feelings. So you get a chance, maybe get a violin and a bottle of wine
And cry me a river and go get a
Baba. I think that's not a bad idea, Joe. I really do.
So long, fellas. Congratulations on 400.
Thank you, Joe. Trish, anybody else before we close? We have about 3 minutes.
Do not see any hands at the moment.
Okay.
So I have a quick question. I think it's quick. Since Joe brought up, or you brought up basketball.
Yes.
Lakers just signed Marcus Smart. I remember.
Good point guard.
Yeah. Well, that's why is he going to help or not?
Yes. He's one of those that's going to get you. He's going to get you in the right play.
Defense.
He's a good, pesky in your shorts defender, and he can score you a bucket or two when you need it. He's one of those guards that, you know, he's one of those that is a very smart, very underrated and undervalued player.
Because when he came out, I think he came out of University of Washington.
No, it was Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. Okay. As I recall, he's not lived up to all the hype.
Actually, how can I say this? He really wasn't supposed to be highly drafted in the first place. They just overreached for him. And I think due to the fact that it's taken him a while to find his place, like a lot of players in this league, some find it and some don't. And I think with him, I think he finally has found a role that fits him. Being a, you know, point guard that distributes, that can score and can defend.
I think he will help the Lakers.
I think so.
Okay. I've got two thoughts on that. This is Kevin. My good friend Reed Noble, good player at Brigham Young, all league when he was in high school.
I remember him.
He refers to Marcus Smart as Maxwell Smart, so he was never impressed. The last time we got a guard from Boston was Rajon Rondo.
Here's the thing. Rondo, I remember him. I remember following his career when he came out of Kentucky. He was, you know, underrated then. And the thing is, in his whole NBA career, he's always been underrated, very disrespected, and yet he found a way to find his place. And I think that's the same thing with Marcus Smart. It took him a little while to find his place.
90 seconds.
Yep. It looks like we are out of time for this edition of Sports Roundtable. Thank you guys. We appreciate the time. Thank you, Trish and Herbie and our listeners and everybody else, Don, Luther, Mitch. And we'll see you next week. I'm Bob Branco. Go safe with God's abundant blessings. Take care.